This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here is episode 40, where Troublemaker and I talk about our poems, Cinnamon. Before we get started, I just want to say a huge, gigantic, amazing thank you to everyone at YWP, because this is the 40th episode, and it's so crazy for me to think that I've made 40 of these already. I feel like Line Break has changed me so much in the past year and a half, and I say this pretty much in every episode, but I'm just so grateful, and I've changed so much, and I've learned so much as a writer, and a teenager, and a friend, and a podcast interviewer, and a person in general, and it means so much to me. And I'm so grateful, so thank you so much. And I hope you really enjoy this episode. So without further ado, here it is. Hi, I'm Isa Virus, and I'm gonna read my poem, Cinnamon. Like vanilla bean freckles on your cinnamon hands, I followed the constellations left by saffron strands. I drank lattes every morning when you were gone. I measured the coffee grounds and poured steaming water over the parchment, frothed milk, and let it slip into a mug. I sprinkled nutmeg on top, added a stripe of caramel, maybe. Honey or cardamom or sugar if I was feeling fancy. I held those mugs so gently, placed them so lightly on the wooden nightstand. Like chamomile and rose petals steeped for hours, I stained myself with memories. A view of driving in the middle of the night, of reaching for the moonlight even when it disappeared behind the dense clouds. I let you have my leather jacket. I stuffed notes in the pockets and waited for you to unfurl them like roses, yet you never sent a reply. I tell these stories to your ghost, the days when you were away, when the shadows came too quickly, when time and mugs fell from my hands as if I was made of feathers.
Beautiful. Well, having not done this before ever, I apologize for my questions. Don't correctly sum up this amazing poem. I really liked your very first line, vanilla bean freckles. It just gave me a great image of like what was going on, I guess, which was amazing. And then the constellations left by saffron strands. And I was kind of wondering where you got that like analogy from and what was like your thought process in describing this individual in such a unique way.
Well, okay, I guess I should say at this point that we both wrote poems inspired by a prompt that we created, which was, what does cinnamon remind you of? And so when I started, I was like, okay, well, cinnamon reminds me of spices. And then that reminds me of like fancy spices, like saffron, which is kind of like a pricey spice compared to like salt and pepper and stuff. So I thought that cinnamon and saffron were like really interesting images. And then I wanted to do something about vanilla beans and vanilla bean pods because I thought that was kind of bougie too. And then I guess somehow it just worked itself into that kind of thing. But the freckles reminded me of like stars that you connect into constellation. I thought that was kind of pretty.
Oh, that is pretty. I like smiled at that line. I was like, oh, so cute.
Thank you. I will say that something that was difficult when I was writing this was sticking to the prompt and like kind of staying on that path of cinnamon while also using my own voice and style, because a lot of times when I use prompts, I write something that doesn't really sound like I would normally write it, you know, like, would I write this if I wasn't given the prompt? And that's kind of what I was trying to do with this poem and be like, this is something that I would write normally because I always write this kind of sad love poem, but like use cinnamon. And that was kind of the thought process behind it.
Yeah, I definitely think of like the TV show Chopped, where they just give you like random ingredients and they're like, make this into a dish. I'm like, but how? So that was actually another one of my questions for you. Just like, I think it was also a Tiny Writes conversation. How does like the prompt influence kind of what you do? And like, are you supposed to stick to the prompt, or is it like your duty to not stick to the prompt and like find as many interesting ways around it as possible?
These are interesting questions. I think it kind of depends on if I like the prompt or not. I think that's kind of like, I don't know, a little bit sassy maybe, like I don't like it, but sometimes it just doesn't speak to me. Sometimes it's like, I don't know how I would write something related to that. But other times with Cinnamon, I kind of liked it because I feel like it was really poetic and I like poetic things like that. And I've written about spices before and kind of just regular objects, but turning it into something more like metaphorical, which is something I do often. And I feel like I can do that with a lot of prompts, kind of just like twist it into something that I would normally use or see it from a more metaphorical point rather than just like something basic. At one of the YWP workshops, I think the prompt was write about costumes or something. So instead of doing something basic like Halloween costume, which is still a cool way of using the prompt, I went with more of a like metaphorical costume, like emotional costume, if you will. So I guess it's just kind of interpreting it in my own way and seeing how it makes sense to my mind.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I think I do like the opposite. I'll take something that's supposed to be kind of more metaphorical and turn it into something really physical. I think there was one where like we had to do like a time travel and what would the time like future look like in comparison to like the environment or whatever. And I took it as like a little 11-year-old skipping through the forest and like a very physical, like kind of taking the prompt and being like, well, you could interpret it this way, but instead, you know, he's 12 and he found a flower instead of whatever else there was to talk about. Teachers have gotten like kind of not mad, but was kind of like, you know, that's not what the prompt's about. I was like, well, it could be. Maybe not what you wanted, but I thought it was kind of fun bashing heads with English teachers, but not because, you know, they're always great anyway. Anyhoozle.
I feel like there shouldn't be any wrong answers to prompts.
Yes.
Like, it's really just how you interpret it and how you want to write about it. And it's the same kind of thing with writing in general, that there aren't any wrong answers, and it's not like that's the wrong way to write poetry. Excuse me, who says so? It's however you want it to be, you know.
And especially I think if you guys ever need like random writing prompts, go to Pinterest and then take that writing prompt and kind of like alter it to how you wish, because I think some of them are really like bland and straightforward. And then some of them are really weird, like, oh, pretend you're a vampire, but you don't like blood. You like, you know, grape juice. It's like, but why would you? Okay, you know, and then you have to like kind of find a way to turn it into something that you would write. And like you said, Iris, like trying to find your voice within a prompt can be really difficult, especially with this prompt for me. I think that like happened. I don't even think I used my usual writing voice. I think I just like took yours and like tried. I don't know if it worked or not, but I wanted to like play with a different style because the prompt was more metaphorical and stuff. Anyway, you have this amazing line. You go, like chamomile and rose petals steeped for hours, I stain myself with memories. And I love that line. When you send it to me, it's all in one paragraph, but I imagine that like one line by itself, and it kind of just stood out to me as like someone physically being stained with like, I don't know, like a different color or something based on this other person, which I guess kind of made me think of like how people kind of like stain you in a way, or like how you can stain other people, and if that's always a good thing or a bad thing or just a thing.
Yeah. And this was actually kind of inspired by the original prompting that I found, which is either on Pinterest or I don't know where it was, but I found a prompt thing that was this girl saying how she's made ramen the way that someone taught her years ago, just because that's how she was first taught how to do it. And then she explains how like all these people kind of influence the way that she does things and the food that she eats, and how she's kind of in a way like stained by them, and like there's a lasting mark left behind even if she only knew them for a little bit. So that was kind of inspired by it, and how like people who leave, you kind of get stained by those memories, or you feel like you're kind of drowning in them. And like everyone can see your sadness if you're missing them. And they're like, oh, I know you're missing that person. You know, I don't know. It's kind of like difficult to explain, but it made sense to me.
No, it totally made sense to me as well. I love that line. Stain myself with memories. And then your next line, you go, of you, of driving in the middle of the night. And I was kind of wondering if you like to drive in the middle of the night.
I hate driving at night. I'm a very precarious driver during the day. And I don't like driving at night because I can never see anything. And so I just feel like it's a lot more dangerous. And I also drive like a little old lady. Like I bend over as close to the steering wheel as I can because I lose all like my perception. I'm like, I can't tell if it's a mile or a foot away. So I don't like driving at night, but I like to romanticize driving at night. And I think it's like a really kind of aesthetic thing to do, like main character vibes, even though like I like that, but I also kind of hate it in a way. I don't know how to explain it, but this poem is kind of like weird alt art student. I feel like that's kind of the vibe I was going for, like the coffee and the tea and the leather jacket and the driving in the middle of the night and the moonlight. Just it was giving me like art student vibes, quirky art student.
Well, that's a wonderful way to put it. Then you have, I let you have my leather jacket. I stuffed notes in the pockets and waited for you to unfurl them like roses, yet you never sent a reply. Anyway, what were your thoughts in writing this line of poetry here?
Well, actually, there's an interesting story behind it because I got stuck when I was writing this and I was like, I don't know what else to add to it. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do something new and crazy and like really interesting. So I went to Spotify and I searched poetry and I listened to all the songs that were called poetry. Some of them were terrible, but some of them were actually really good. And I was like, oh, okay. And one of them mentioned leather jacket and I was like, oh, that fits perfectly into this poem. So then I was kind of playing around with like, I have your leather jacket is still in my house, or just like, I gave you my leather jacket. Because I feel like this poem is kind of the narrator, not necessarily me, but telling this person that, like, you left me, but here's how I'm still remembering you and feeling like you're still with me, sort of a little bit obsessively. But anyway, I gave you this part of me, my leather jacket, and I gave you all these notes, and I waited for you to read them. But you never reciprocated that kind of love to me. You never sent a reply. And it's like, I'm making it romantic, but you're just kind of like, what? Like, there isn't kind of any real connection there. So, also, I'll Give You the Sun. Really great book. Pretty sure there's a part where the characters trade a leather jacket with notes in it, unless I'm imagining it. I talked about it before. I'm pretty sure that that's involved, but forgive me if I'm wrong.
Aw, that's so sweet. Trade and leather jacket. I kind of thought of like the Olivia Rodrigo song.
I
Trade and jackets.
know.
Wow. I was like,
How small it is on you. I
Sorry.
know the laugh has always creeped me out. I was like, oh, why laughing?
It's my favorite part because I feel like it kind of doesn't fit, but like does,
Yeah.
but then it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
A little
Also,
bit.
I was going for a slightly creepy vibe in this poem, and I don't know if it was picked up because this is the smallest, most subtle thing ever, but it's really just here for my sake. There's one line like back in the beginning, I held those mugs so gently, placed them so lightly on the wooden nightstand. That is a very, very, very thin kind of nod to The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe, surprisingly, which is this really crazy story. Fantastic, though. Of this narrator. It's never said if it's a man or a woman. People usually read it as if it's a man, but it's even creepier if you read it as a woman, which I don't know why. But anyway, this narrator lives with this old man. I don't think it's their father, but they're like really obsessed with kind of, this is dark, but killing them and kind of getting rid of them, getting them out of their lives. And but at the same time, they're trying to like tell the reader that I'm not crazy. I'm not insane because look how carefully I open their door when they're sleeping to watch over them. Look how carefully I do this and do that. And it's like really unsettling. It's like, no, don't. But I feel like that's kind of the vibe where like I'm holding a mug and I'm putting it down so gently. And that's how carefully I could treat you in this relationship. But at the same time, it's like I'm not interested in you. But anyway, The Telltale Heart is a great story. I love the part where like this is the big part where all these police officers come to the house after the narrator has killed the old man, and they're just talking with the narrator like, "Hey, what's up?" And the narrator's like, "Oh, nothing much. I'm not crazy." And the police are like, "Ha ha ha! Of course you wouldn't be." And they just go on and on and on talking, and then finally, the narrator starts to think that they hear the heartbeat of the man that they killed, like beating through the floorboards where body had been buried, and the police don't hear it. And finally, it just like goes over the whole person's mind and they go crazy and they're like, I killed the person. And it's just, it's the coolest story ever. So definitely check it out if I haven't spoiled everything.
Oh my gosh. I might, yeah, I don't usually like to read like horror stories and things or watch horror movies. I can't watch horror movies, but that one sounds very interesting. So not that I can watch any other horror movie show. I couldn't even get through It. It was really sad. I was like looking up what happens on Wikipedia as I was watching it. So I'd like know. Because I was like, I cannot be freaked out by this. I need to sleep after this. Anyway, I highlighted that line to the lightly on the wooden nightstand. Now I know what it means and where it comes from. And then towards the end, you have this line. I tell these stories to your ghost. The days when you were away, when the shadows came too quickly, when time and mugs fell from my hands as if I was made of feathers. I was wondering, well, I guess kind of why you decided to end the poem this way. What was the inspiration for it?
Well, the line I told these stories to your ghost is sort of an inverted version of one song called Poetry by Dead Men that I found on Spotify by Sarah Bareilles. I don't know how to say her last name, but she sang some other song that was really popular. I can't remember though. Anyway, her line was like, I'm telling this to your ghost now or something like that. And I was like, ooh, that would be cool. Because the person that the narrator is talking to is long gone for some reason. And she can only tell these stories to a ghost and like this invisible thing. And that's when she starts to kind of unravel. And she isn't as careful as she used to be, like carefully putting down her mugs. Now they're slipping from her hands. And she's just kind of made of feathers. And she doesn't feel like she's a person anymore because this other person is gone from her. So that's what I wanted to do. It's like she's starting off strong, starting off like, this is how I'm going to win you back, but this is how your loss is affecting me.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. Oh, this is so cool. Being on the opposite end and like asking you the questions now.
It feels so weird to be on this one. I feel like I'm rambling so much.
You are totally not. This is so cool to like, you can't see my face. Oh, right. Podcast. Huh? But I'm over here like making all these cool facial expressions and like, aha. That's why. Awesome. I have like a tiny side question, I guess, that has nothing really to do with the poem. But because you were talking about like drinking lattes every morning and putting in like nutmeg and caramel and stuff, which just seems like a really fancy drink. I was wondering if you had any like good like latte caffeinated drinks that you like, or if you put like anything weird in them, like nutmeg. Or
No, actually, I don't. I love coffee. And I love making lattes because it's just like, oh, beautiful. And I have a milk frother that changed my life. But I don't usually put that weird of things in it. Sometimes I'll put maple syrup, which might be a Vermont thing or like a New England thing. I don't know. I don't really like the taste of nutmeg or cardamom, actually. But sometimes I'll sprinkle some cinnamon on top. And that's kind of where that came from. Because back in the like very beginning after when I didn't have the poem written and I was like, what can I write for this prompt? The first thing I thought of was sprinkling cinnamon on top of lattes. And I was like, ooh, that could be cool. And then I just kind of tried to make it fancy, but I usually have just regular coffee, some milk, some maple syrup, some cinnamon. Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Oh, I love it. Personally, I'm not a huge coffee drinker, which is why I had to ask, because like, I don't even know what one would put in a caffeinated drink necessarily. I didn't think people put nutmeg in it, but I was like, what do I know?
Oat milk is great. Love oat milk.
Oh my God. My friend is obsessed with oat milk.
Mm-hmm. This is very off topic, but I got oat milk from Trader Joe's and it's very oaty. I was like, did they forget to blend it? Like,
oh.
Is this a piece of oat?
Oh dear.
I don't really like to be reminded that I'm drinking oats when I drink oat milk. So I had a little bit of an issue with it, but no, I'm fine.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so weird. It just look like clunky when it comes out. Ugh. Anyway, but I think I honestly, I'll just have like a glass of milk. And my friend is like, why would you ever do that? Have coffee. And I was like, I like milk. I just held up a glass of milk that I have right here. I've never had like caffeinated drinks. I just recently had one of those like Starbucks dragon fruit like things, like lemonade, dragon fruit, frozen ice thingamajiggies, which was actually really good. So that's going to be my summer drink, the one and only, because I don't feel like trying anything else. I found my drink. And yeah, just had to ask that. Maple syrup, I don't know anybody else. Might be a Vermont thing.
I don't know, maybe a Canadian thing, but
True.
I started drinking coffee when I was like maybe 12 or 13, but everyone told me it was going to stunt my growth. And I actually have this wall in my room where my younger brother and I have kept track of our height over the past couple of years. And apparently I shrunk 2 inches, but I don't know if it was related to the coffee or if I just miss like measured myself, and if I just went like 2 inches above how tall I actually am.
You just like counted the ponytail on the top of your
Yeah,
head.
or like I was wearing a top hat and I
Okay.
was like, oh, I'll just include that.
Yeah. Oh, I wish
But
I did that.
I don't feel like I'm really affected by caffeine anymore. Like, I don't get a caffeine high or like jittery if I don't have it. Actually, at one point, I did get kind of headaches if I didn't have it. That's the only downfall of drinking caffeine and coffee and stuff, is that like you'll get a headache if you don't always have it. But now I'm at the point where I just have it like every couple of days and then I'm fine. Anyway, moving on to your poem. I'm very excited about this. I have so many cool things to talk about.
Oh dear. Okay. So yeah, I used the exact same prompt, which was,
What does
oh,
cinnamon remind you of?
yes. What does cinnamon remind me of? So I feel like you use cinnamon like twice. I feel like I used it every like three lines. But yeah, here it goes. She was always wrapped in cinnamon. Her aroma was a mixture of brown and gold oak, stacked together like firewood, as was her house on the side of the mountain. Made from a similar material, perhaps christened in it. Her hair rained cinnamon dust, and her hands were smeared with dough. The house always smelled of cinnamon, too. We'd smell it four houses over while we walked there. She'd take out a laughably small pot and three cinnamon sticks and let it boil. That's how we were always greeted. Instead of spraying perfume around the house or Febreze, she'd boil cinnamon sticks. Our breath carried the earthy sweetness of the cinnamon, too. As we'd help her make cinnamon buns, we'd secretly lick the sugar, licking our finger before squashing it in the small white china bowl, and then sticking our finger, now crystallized with cinnamon sugar, onto our tongues. By far, it was the most unsanitary thing to do, but she never complained, her faint smile knowing, but never cross. She even laughed with cinnamon, an airy puff of pure joy. She sounded like a lilting bird learning how to fly with clouds. The throaty chuckles spread ever so softly until it coated everything in a thin layer of giggles. Her posture was cinnamon, for just as the spice rests in an imposing looking jar, so did she have an imposing royal stature, unmoving, the stoic shadow and exact replica of the mighty cinnamon jar in the unsanded pantry. All apples are cinnamon, thanks to her, for she would dust each sliced piece of fruit with the spice, just a sprinkle, she'd say, and the apple would be so juicy and so dry at the same time. It always left our mouths confused as to what it has just eaten. Was it simply sweet dust or wet dew, cradled inside an apple skin? Most importantly, her memory is cinnamon. Anytime the smell meets my nose, the powder touches my fingertips, or the taste melts on my tongue, I see her, the woman on the mountain. The smell has a certain power to simulate the best childhood days and outline them in a fresh coat of bellowing memories for me to walk through, to remember her by, and love her through, as only a distant friend can love another. Some have a picture for sight, a blanket for touch, a cologne for smell, or a recipe for taste. Not I. All were cinnamon.
Oh, thank you so much. I don't know why I'm smiling. Do I usually do that? Oh my gosh, I love this poem. What was your inspiration?
Thanks. So the inspiration was cinnamon. Woo. So I thought it was really difficult actually to like think about cinnamon, and I was trying to think of all of the different aspects of cinnamon and kind of what it meant to me. And in doing that, I felt kind of like closed off to say like what I actually felt about cinnamon, because it does give like a lot of memories to just like my mom and like, well, they're all great memories, but I don't know, it was like weird for me to talk about in a poem. So I actually distanced myself from the characters by making it this woman on a mountain, so that I can kind of go like deeper into what I liked about cinnamon. So all of the different like apples are like cinnamon, and cinnamon buns, and there were other ones. Oh, and like boiling cinnamon sticks. My mom like actually does that. And I think it was just easier for me to talk about it from someone else's point of view, which is why I switched it to this random lady on a mountain. I kind of thought of like The Sound of Music and The Hills Are Alive part. I don't know why, but like that was the setting. And then, yeah, it was just really interesting to see. I have a lot of connections to cinnamon too, which I figured out, I guess, as I wrote this, or maybe after I wrote it and reread it.
I think it's always so cool when you write something and then go back and you're like, wow, I just realized that this is connected to so many different things in my life. You know, self-discovery through writing.
Yes. Which I actually find I do a lot, especially I just graduated and like I wrote so many poems about like all of the last things that I did. And then like I had like the self-discovery part by the end of the poem, which I didn't know I had at the beginning. Like, oh, cool. Okay. I just, you know, had an existential crisis and figured it all out and done. Cool.
I know. I've written so many poems about like being a teenager and stuff. It's like, whoa, that's how I was feeling. Or that's not really disguised that much. I was definitely angry. I think a lot of times I also kind of romanticized it a lot. So like when I was looking back on some poems I wrote about high school like 2 years ago, I can't remember how old I was, I guess 2 years ago, I was like, it wasn't as cool as that. No, like there are a lot more sad moments than just like me being happy with my friends and stuff. Anyway, I think it's cool how we sort of went in similar directions but also different directions, you know, like talking about another person and kind of like romanticizing them, but also like sticking to this theme of cinnamon, which I think is so cool. How like, you know, there's so much that you can write about with just like one specific object or scent or smell or whatever. And we talked about like, instead of using cinnamon, using pine needles, or I think the other one was like new car smell or vinegar or something.
Other vinegar. I don't have.
Yeah. And how like each kind of smell brings up such specific memories and like images and stuff. So I think it's cool how ours are sort of like autumn-y. I feel like very warm, with like my warm coffee and your firewood that you mentioned, and how the woman's aroma was a mixture of brown and gold oak stacked together like firewood. I feel like that's very autumn-y and like reddish and warm.
Yes. I also like cinnamon, I feel like, is a fall spice, pumpkin cinnamon stuff.
Yeah. Like it doesn't seem very summery at all. So some lines that I really like: her hair rained cinnamon dust and her hands were smeared with dough. Our breath carried the earthy sweetness of the cinnamon. I love the imagery and descriptions in these two lines, especially the earthy sweetness. I felt like it was kind of difficult to capture cinnamon in a way that wasn't just like, it's cinnamon. Because you kind of have to like go back and be like, how do I describe it to someone who doesn't know what it is? Right?
Yeah.
Did you have trouble with that, or did it just come to you?
Oh, no, it definitely did not come to me. I tried to write this poem maybe like 3 days in a row, and each time I was like, I have nothing. Like, it was so difficult. And like, I was trying to describe her laugh like cinnamon without saying it was cinnamon, and I was like, oh, it's, you know, like it's a bellow, it's a puff, because like, you know how if you sneeze on cinnamon it just like floats, you know, and you know how flour kind of like splats more so. And then cinnamon does more like a float kind of thing. But it's also like the driest spice, I feel like. It's really sweet, but it's also so dry. So trying to, like you said, trying to explain cinnamon to someone who hasn't had cinnamon before is so difficult. It's like trying to explain water to someone who like doesn't know what water is. Like, oh, it's wet. And but like not, you know. It's so hard.
I feel like my friends and I used to do that at summer camp. Like, describe the color yellow to someone who doesn't know what it looks like and things like that. Like, how do you do that? And it like makes your brain hurt because you're like, I just know it's yellow. I just know it's cinnamon.
It just is, guys. I can't explain it.
Yeah, but I think it's actually a really cool exercise to see like how you can kind of explain something. And I feel like earthy sweetness captures it because it's really like that spicy earthy thing, but also really sweet too. Some more lines. She even laughed like cinnamon, the stoic shadow, an exact replica of the mighty cinnamon jar in the unsanded pantry. How this woman is so like, she looks like cinnamon, she sounds like cinnamon, she smells like cinnamon. How did you write the comparisons between her and cinnamon? And is she inspired by someone you know, or just a combination of different things related to cinnamon?
I think it was more different things related to cinnamon. In a way, I guess this woman was kind of like my mom and then also like our house. But like I said, I also distanced the whole experience from myself as well so I can write about it better. Going into it, I was like, okay, so this could be this person and like her memory is going to be cinnamon. Like when you think of that person, and I guess that kind of happens. Like if you think of like your grandfather or something and he just always smells like tobacco. And then I was kind of like, how deep can I get into her character? That wasn't necessarily, you can relate someone to cinnamon. So like her statue was like cinnamon, like really, is it though? And then having to like try and explain that to myself and then to the reader at the same time. And it was really fun actually to see like how far I could take the cinnamon like metaphor and like relate it to an aspect of herself. And it was a little difficult. Like, I don't think she like feels like cinnamon because I don't think that would really work. I guess maybe she was just really dry and sandy, but like, I didn't really think that was how I didn't want her to be remembered as such. But yeah, trying to see how deep I can go into the cinnamon metaphor was definitely something I strove for and tried my best at. And it worked. I think it worked for some parts. So I highly recommend though, if you're ever stuck trying to figure out what to write about, just take a random spice and try and relate it to a person and see how far you get. It's very interesting.
I thought it was really interesting how you said that, like, if you think of your grandpa and he smells like tobacco or something. When I think of my grandparents, I feel like they have very specific smells associated with them. Like, when I think of my grandma, I think of baking with her and, like, apple pies and the whole section about apple pies in this poem. I was like, oh my gosh, it reminds me of my grandma. And my grandpa smells, like, very, very strong cough drops in my mind. And, like, it's cool how I feel like I don't really think of other people in that way, like, my parents, I don't feel like they really have specific smells, but like my grandparents have very specific, like apple pie or cough drops or perfume or like very specific things like that, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I think usually my parents don't have a smell, I guess, because I'm just like really used to each other or whatever. So it's not the same. But my dad uses these, I don't know what they're called. They're like essential oils. And there's one called Deep Relief, and he literally just smells like, it's such a wonderful smell too. So, and it's for like bug bites and things, so like for like mosquitoes and stuff. So whenever I have to put it on as well, I just smell him, which is always so soothing. And then my grandparents just smell, they smell like Haitian food. They smell like a, like rice, the rice that we'll cook with like certain spices and stuff, and like cloves, I guess. Always, which is very soothing. I was wondering though, like, do you ever go to like a friend's house and you like pick up their family smell, or like, you know what I mean, like,
yes. People have like laundry detergent. I don't know why, but every time I go to someone's house, I come back smelling like their laundry detergent. Especially when I babysit at people's houses, maybe because I sit on their couches, I don't know, but I definitely, there's this phenomenon. I don't know if it's a phenomenon, but we talked about it in one of my writing classes where like you can go into someone else's house and like smell what it smells like, you know, like their food or their laundry or whatever. And then you go into your house and it just smells like your home. Like you don't really recognize what it smells like, which I thought was really interesting how like we get so used to our own houses that we don't really recognize them from like a stranger's perspective.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Also, like when you get into someone else's car, they like, you smell like their car smell, like not like the new car smell, but like their family car smell. And then you get in your car and you're like, I hope my car doesn't smell like weird.
Well, anyway, some more lines. This whole section about apple pies, like I mentioned, all apples are cinnamon thanks to her. The apple would be so juicy and so dry at the same time. It always left our mouths confused as to what was just eaten. Was it simply sweet dust, or what dew cradled inside an apple skin? And this description is so beautiful. It reminds me of, like, you know, baking apple pies and wholesome things like that. I feel like what's so cool about picking cinnamon is that there's so many memories that we have associated with it, and like really wholesome moments. And they kind of like coincide and like meet, but also like split apart and go in their own ways. You know, like I made apple pies with my grandma, and I also made apple pies with my friend. And then my friend and I bought cinnamon flavored chapstick or like something like that. You know, like they meet at this point, but then they go off on their own ways. And they're still somehow like connected.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I've like appreciated cinnamon so much after like writing this poem too. I'm so glad we did like a cool spice and it wasn't just like dirt or something. You know, because there's so many
mustard, salt.
Yeah, like pepper. Because there are so many memories that are just like not, you know, they're not as like wholesome. You know, it's like dirt. Oh, you know, got hit in the face with a soccer ball, fell in dirt. It's not poetic.
Yeah, or like mulch, that kind of thing. Okay, some more lines. This smell has a certain power to stimulate the best childhood days and outline them in a fresh coat of bellowing memories for me to walk through to remember her by. I feel like it's so sweet how cinnamon just has, it just brings back these memories and like the best days of your childhood, and not like the times when, you know, you got hit by a soccer ball and like, or you ran into a tree or something. Like, the best times, the warmest times. It's so cool how, like, we talked about memory a lot in the last podcast episode, how, like, certain things bring back such vivid memories, like eating a creamsicle we talked about, or, like, going to a pool reminds me of your childhood, or the smell of chlorine. Like, I was going through one of my clothing drawers the other day in my closet, and I found like an old shirt and it smelled like chlorine. And I just remembered going to the pool and I was like, oh my gosh, that was so much fun. And just like, it brought me back so quickly to that time that I wouldn't really have gone back to otherwise.
Sorry, I was probably supposed to say something here, but I was thinking of my own like chlorine experience. You're like, yeah, my like summer days, like, man, the days I have with chlorine is just like being sunburnt and hot.
My family used to live in Florida, and there is a neighborhood pool, and they put so much chlorine in it that this is actually really gross. I might edit it out, but my brother would go in and it would like take off his leg hair because there's so much chlorine in the pool. And it was crazy, but I feel like it's like a very, very sharp smell, and that just, it immediately brings me back to being a little kid and like eating popsicles by the pool and like walking around in my bathing suit and my cool little hair.
Aww. Yeah. It also reminds me of like being sunburnt, which I think I already said.
Which, yeah.
Adds to the conversation.
Being sunburnt is such a like summery memory.
So true. I honestly, I only was sunburnt like once or twice, which was nice. My poor friend will be in the sun for like 10 minutes and get pink. And I'm like, go inside.
Just go away.
But
all right, you're ending. Some have a picture for sight, a blanket for touch, a cologne for smell, or a recipe for taste. Not I. All were cinnamon. I love this ending and how you describe, like, people correlate different memories with different objects and gifts, but for this person, everything that she loves about the woman is cinnamon, which is so simple but so beautiful. You know, it's not like an expensive cologne or really fuzzy expensive blanket. It's just cinnamon.
Yeah, with this, I definitely knew what my last line was going to be, like, all were cinnamon. I was like, yes, that's going to be the ending. And then I had to like get there. And it took forever. Like, I wrote the poem, I had all were cinnamon at the end, but I didn't like how I transitioned to it. So I was like, okay, I'll come back to it later. And then I think it was like after dinner, I was gonna go play with my sister. And I was like, okay, let me just like try and work on it one more time. You know how you kind of like listen to your Spotify playlists? That was me, but just like staring at the exact same page over and over again, which next time I'll go listen to Spotify playlists because it seems more helpful. And I like worked at this for such a long time because I wanted to make sure that like all were cinnamon encompassed all the senses. And I realized in my first version, that wasn't like the case. I think I put like the blanket, and then all were cinnamon. I was like, well, it's not like they have a bunch of cinnamon blankets. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say here. And it was so difficult for me because, like, just to connect the woman on the mountain, the smell has a certain power to stimulate the best childhood days and outline them in a fresh coat of bellowing memories for me to walk through. And then to get from there to all were cinnamon literally took like 40 minutes and it's 6 lines. So yeah, that's what being a poet is, you know, just working, trying to find like one or two words that correctly sums up what you're trying to say. And just like closure for my own personal, like I just needed it to flow in a nice way. So, and I thought it was really interesting how I refused to change like that last line, which sometimes happens. Like you have your opening line and then sometimes you just have like the last line of your poem and you're like, well, that needs to be a poem now because I like the last line, but you don't know what the middle is going to be about or like what the content is. But you just think like that should be a great last line for something. So I'm going to make it happen. It could take 2 weeks, but eventually it becomes a thing. Just the fact that you like mentioned it and that you like the ending I was really proud of because that took such a long time, especially writing it for this specific, like for us to discuss and stuff. I was like, I gotta like, you know, branch out. I'm gonna use more of like an Iris voice today. Okay, I'm gonna leave the quirky Dr. Seuss voice, you know, behind for a little bit. And yeah, definitely took a while, but very rewarding.
I think it's cool how you kind of changed your voice a bit, but yeah, it's cool how you stuck with the same ending because I feel like I can never kind of stick with an ending and I often don't have one and I just end the poem abruptly. And sometimes it's like, wait, is that it? But I feel like it's difficult for me to kind of bring it all together like seamlessly because I feel like a lot of my poems are just made up of like fragments and not really a full-on story like yours is. So it was hard for me to, I don't know, sometimes it's difficult for me to come up with like a straight ending, but yeah, I think it's cool that you stuck with it and you weren't like gonna write something else. You're like, nope, it's gonna end like this.
Yeah, sorry, that was a bit of a ramble too, I apologize.
I ramble too, but yeah, okay,
if you listen to that entire spiel, I applaud you.
Thank you so much for sharing your poem.
Thank you so much for hearing your poem.
Yes, I have some more questions, a few more.
Almost,
we're almost done. So the last time that we talked, which was actually the first time that we talked, was back in August, almost a year ago. How do you think your writing style has changed since we first talked?
Ooh.
And how has it evolved?
Okay, wait, hold on. Last August, that was still in 2020, right? Yes, cool. Pandemic was still a thing. I would say my writing became more, more close to my heart. Like, I feel like in the beginning, I definitely would just, I would write about a thing or like an object or like a scenario that wasn't really attached to me. It was just attached to like the scenario at hand. And then over the pandemic and just, through just like experimenting and just reading everybody else's poems and stuff, I tried to make it more personal, which I usually don't do. I don't really like doing that. Usually I like to keep myself out of my own poems. But I definitely tried to work with like my own experiences and my own emotions and to turn them into not just like me complaining, but me like explaining and shaping it into like a thing, into like a poem with like an actual meaning to it that other people can also relate to. So something like this too, I think, I had more of like, I put more like similes into it and I had more of a story feel. Whereas sometimes it'll just be more of like talking to inanimate objects from like before this all. And it's, I guess it's kind of cool to see now how like my free verse also has kind of shifted positions and I'm starting to develop an actual voice for it now. And it's not just like a fake voice that I'll take from somebody else. Usually it's you, honestly, not gonna lie. Like, I'll take your voice and I'll try and add it to my free verse stuff. So recently, so thank you for that. And now I think,
that's so sweet.
Yeah, no, you and like Yellow Sweater, I'll try to kind of like replicate your styles because I love them so much. And I think from that, I grew to like my own voice in a free verse poem. Cause like my rhyming stuff was always, I always had a voice for that since like middle school. I don't know why. I guess I just liked Dr. Seuss. And then between last August and today, my free verse voice has kind of come into being. And so now I'm starting to play with that more.
That's so cool how you have definitely changed. I feel like a lot of times when I look back on my writing, like looking back from where I was at in August, I feel like I can't really see that much of a difference, except I was very much in an underwater phase then. And every poem I wrote was underwater. I'm pretty sure I'm definitely out of that phase now, but I think it's cool. I don't really notice like a change in my voice, I guess, but more just like the themes in my writing. Like for a while it was underwater, or before then it was like being 16, I wrote about a lot, and like being a teenager, and I do still write about those things, but I feel like not as specifically those things. It's kind of more camouflaged now. And I feel like I'm getting into more abstract poetry a little bit, or maybe just a little more pretentious, because I'm not as like specifically, I'm upset that I'm 16, you know, I'm like talking about the loss of my teen years and what I miss and what I never had in like metaphorical ways. So to sum up how I've changed, I think I'm just getting more metaphorical, which is probably what I would have predicted anyway.
I would also say like, I think my reading voice in poetry, I've been paying more attention to it now. I recently had to give a speech for my school, and I really worked on like the delivery of my speech, and it resonated with the audience because of how I delivered it. I was like telling jokes about our class and stuff. So I was like doing their voices and stuff. And I accredited that to just like having to read poetry and reading it in different styles and like trying to make it sound interesting and fun. And I noticed like you have your like your poetry reading voice as well, which is just so cool to like look at everyone, like the way they write and the way they talk and then the way that they speak their poems are all different and wonderful, but they're all different, and it's really cool to see.
I feel like it's cool that you mentioned that, because I honestly don't realize that I have a poetry reading voice until I listen back to like podcast episodes when I'm reading my poetry or open mics, and I'm like, oh, I do have a reading voice, because I always feel like I'm just reading it like monotone, kind of monotonous. I do watch a lot of like poetry videos on YouTube, but like spoken word poetry, and those have like a very specific kind of rhythm and flow to it, and I'm always like, oh, I want to read that beautifully because it's so cool, but I can never really find like a kind of rhythm to my poems unless it's just like by instinct. But what I think is also cool is when some poets like move their hands when they're reading. I don't know how to describe it, but Sarah Kay, she's one of my favorite poets. She, do you know her? Yes. Oh, she's so cool. But she like moves her hands when she reads, and it's so beautiful. And it's like she's doing like, I don't know, but it just looks so cool. And it's like a full body kind of dance while she's reading. And I love it so much.
Yeah, definitely respect to like people who do spoken word poetry. I tried to like, I entered into like a challenge on another website for spoken word, and I couldn't even come up with, I couldn't even like write a poem that I could speak in a cool way. You know, they were all just like, they were kind of bland. I was like, man, it's hard to like actually write a poem where you're rhyming in like a cool rhythmic way so that you can speak it in a cool rhythmic way. You can't have one without the other. So much respect. And I love Sarah Kay. Her poem, When I Have a Daughter, I think, is like, I was like, oh my God.
Oh, yes. And the TED Talk that goes with it. Oh, just beautiful. I love the way that she talks. I feel like so many poets have a very poetic way of talking, and like they use metaphors, but like so casually that I'm like, is this part of your poem, or is this just like your everyday speech? It's so cool. I feel like that's definitely a sign that you're a writer if you do that. Well, it has been so cool to write to the same prompts and read each other's poems and do this switch again where I become the guest and you become the host. It feels very awkward for me, but I feel like I'm getting used to it now. The first time, I did not know what to do.
Yeah, it was weird, like, asking you questions, too. I kind of just want to, like, praise your work the entire time. It's like, I love this line! Like, no, gotta come with the question. So.
I don't know. It's weird being in like the, I don't know, the hot seat, I guess, and be like, how do I answer that? This has been episode 40 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 41. Bye!